You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up last Saturday, Garrison Keillor wrapped up his 42 years as the host of A Prairie Home Companion. We'll ask you to share your favorite memories, segments, and guests.
First, Republican Congressman Reed Ribble has been representing Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District for 6 years. He'll leave Congress after this term, though, having decided not to seek re-election.
Despite his plans to leave Congress, Ribble hopes to continue working on bipartisan issues and efforts, specifically, naming Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin's 2nd District as a friend and ally.
Reed Ribble joins us now to talk about his plans and the future of the GOP. Congressman Ribble, thanks for taking time to speak with us today.
I'm happy to be with you. Thank you, Judith.
You've been representing Wisconsin's 8th District for 6 years now. How would you describe the atmosphere in Washington and specifically in Congress during that time?
Well, it just depends on what the issue is. I think if you follow the news every single day, you see places where things are relatively routine and mundane here in Washington, and then other times where the political differences between left and right show up real dramatically. And so it just depends on the individual circumstances of the day and what is happening in and around us here in D.C. That will either make it a little more mundane and normal or whether it makes it a little more fractured. Maybe that's a better word to use.
Certainly during this election cycle, things seem very polarized. Would you say that that's an accurate representation? Has it gotten worse on that particular angle?
You know, my observation has been that the second year of every session, and Congress is in session for 2 years running, the second year is always the more difficult one because we get into a period of time where not only are members a little bit more fearful about their reelections, and so they're more cautious about what they want to work on, but we also see the political divide widen. Political campaigns and the political campaign season happens every 2 years are always about the differences, whereas governing is always about what's in common. And so during the times where members are actually campaigning and running for reelection or new members are running for election, the differences come out and they become much more stark. And it's the normal process of the political campaign season that we enter so regularly.
And so as those members of Congress are having to posture and present themselves with the hopes of appealing to their constituents for re-election, how does that affect the ability of you and other members of Congress to move forward legislation?
It makes it much more difficult, particularly if you're trying to do larger scale things. And so I think what we're seeing this year here in Congress is that although things are getting done, they're not addressing the big issues of the day, whether it's reforming and protecting Social Security and Medicare, dealing with tax reform or the regulatory environment. I think that the discussion might get centered on there, but the legislation doesn't go anywhere, or even legislation may not be offered on those things. They just become talking points, and then you begin to see a diversity of ideas and opinions happen, and the polarity kind of settle in.
Well, and as you said, members of Congress are having to come up for re-election every 2 years, whereas senators have 6 years. Do you think that makes it especially challenging for the members of the House where you are?
It sure it does, because you're always coming back. And it's been my observation that a member of the House of Representatives, and probably this is true for members of the Senate as well, you're always the most courageous the day right after your election, and you're the most fearful the day before. Mm. And at some point during that two-year period, many members of Congress move away from a posture of governing from courage to a posture of governing from fear. And it's at that point that things start to grind to a halt because nobody wants to take any risk.
You have prioritized building relationships across the aisle in your time in Congress, especially in what is a pretty polarized period. Why did you decide to make that a priority for yourself?
Because I really believe that our founders set up a system 200 years ago, 200 plus years ago, that was centered around this core idea. They basically told leaders of this country, where you can find agreement, do those things. If you cannot find agreement, go back to the drawing board until you can. And what I've discovered in my very short time here is that the reason we don't often get agreement is because not enough members of Congress are actually looking for it. They're not seeking out avenues. They're not learning about each other and about why these political differences exist in our national lexicon. And so I wanted to get out and spend more time with some Democrat colleagues so I could not just learn about them and their families, but also learn about the why. Why do they hold this view when I have always held an opposing or opposite view? And once you do that and you start to have conversations that are now based on a better relationship, people are willing to open up, and you start to find where those creases are that you can step into, that there's agreement. And that's how I have chosen to manage my time here in Washington.
And so what are those creases? What are those kinds of issues that you're able to find common ground with Democratic colleagues?
Yeah, I'll give you an example that's actually coming to the floor just today. This afternoon, at some point, we're going to be having a vote on the Interior Appropriations Bill. And in that bill is language that I was able to get inserted in bipartisan fashion that would protect the Endangered Species Act from a court that would want to usurp itself into the act and dismantle it. And this is a provision related to the wolf population in northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, and Wyoming. And the Republican and Democrat members of those states have come together in bipartisan fashion to work on language to reinstate the Endangered Species Act and provide for it as the premier and superior science in relation to how we manage fish and wildlife in this country.
And in reaching across the aisle, who have you found to be the most receptive over there?
Well, I found a lot of friends right in Wisconsin. Both I've spent most of my time with both Ron Kind and Mark Pocan. I do have a great relationship with Gwen Moore as well. And when we have to do things for the state of Wisconsin, I've been very pleased and impressed with how our bicameral, bipartisan delegation has been willing to work together and lock arms to represent Wisconsin in a way that's necessary for a small population state like ours to be effective here in Congress. Other friends of mine in the House of Representatives would be folks like Kurt Schrader from Oregon, Jim Cooper from Tennessee, Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona. I've had an opportunity to spend time last night, Congressman Dan Lipinski from Illinois, another Democrat member, and I went out to dinner together. We had late votes that were going to take place at about 10 o'clock last night. So we broke away at around 6:30, and we had dinner together.
And do you feel like other members of your caucus appreciate your efforts, or have you felt at all discouraged from working with Democrats?
No, I've never once been discouraged from working with members from across the aisle. Both Speaker Boehner and Speaker Ryan have made it clear that legislation that is bipartisan has your best opportunity to become law, and they've encouraged us to find places where we could work together.
You are leaving Congress after this term. Do you think you'll have opportunities to continue working for bipartisanship and on the issues that you care about?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm certain to some degree I'll always weigh in with now the many friends that I have here in Congress. My plan is to go back to my roots in the roofing industry and go back into the private sector as I promised the folks I would when I first ran for office. But I have made many friends here, and I see myself staying in contact with some of them.
Many of your colleagues who leave Congress turn around to become lobbyists. Is that something that you've ever been tempted by?
Not even interested in it.
And
that doesn't mean I wouldn't work for a trade association, because I spent 20 years as a board of director in the National Roofing Contractors Association, but I wouldn't have any interest in the lobbying side of it. I've had my 6 years here in Washington, D.C. I'd like to spend the next 6 years of my life in Wisconsin.
Do you think there's an inherent problem in former legislators turning around and lobbying their former colleagues?
You know, that has not been my experience. I think in my time here in 6 years, I have maybe had just two or three former members of Congress. Sometimes I didn't even know they were former members of Congress reach out to me that are working with some lobbying organization. However, I do recognize that small businesses often will pool themselves together, their resources together, like members of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. They will pool their resources together and hire somebody to represent their interests in Washington, D.C., and they will seek out the person that they believe is best able to reach out to members. But I've never really had a problem with former members contacting me. That, matter of fact, I would say that is extremely rare as opposed to the other.
We're talking with Republican Congressman Reed Ribble, who represents Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. Congressman Ribble, let's turn to the race for the White House. It's looking likely that Donald Trump will come out of the Cleveland Convention later this month as the GOP's presidential nominee. For you, does he represent your party and its principles?
I don't think so, but I've been pretty clear of my disappointment with both of our presidential nominees on both sides of the aisle. I think both of them are flawed candidates, and I'm disappointed as just an American citizen that these are the best candidates that the parties felt that they could offer to the American people. And I think Democrats have been somewhat disappointed with the process that they had, and I know Republicans, including myself, have been disappointed with ours. And but I do believe that Mr. Trump will be the nominee coming out of the Republican convention. He did win that the delegates in a fair, delivered primary process, and he shouldn't be usurped at the convention.
So you don't think he should be usurped, but do you think it's possible that a different candidate could emerge at the convention?
Well, I think that political parties choose their nominees, and the delegates will have the responsibility of following the rules of the convention at the convention to select the nominee. But I don't know that you could come out of that convention with somebody other than Mr. Trump and have any hope of winning in the fall.
And if he is, in fact, the Republican nominee, will you endorse his candidacy?
No, I will not.
And what do you think the impact on the Republican Party will be if he is the nominee, whether or not he wins in November?
Well, you know, I think there's two scenarios there that happen is... one scenario would be that he is victorious in the fall. I don't think that that's going to be the case personally. But if he is, then it will all come down to how he governs over the next 4 years, and that will determine the impact on the party itself. However, I think his rhetoric has already had a damaging impact on the party. His rhetoric about women, his mocking of a disabled person, his language about... Hispanic immigrants. Now, those things are not particularly helpful, and I think that it's damaged the Republican Party, and it will take a long time for them to recover from it.
Well, Congressman Ribble, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Judith, it's been good to be with you. Thank you.
Republican Congressman Reed Ribble represents Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. He's not seeking re-election this November.